I preached on this gospel that we heard today a little over a week ago for the youth at Higher Things. So this sermon that you're going to hear today is a slightly edited and expanded version of that. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jesus is not giving you spiritual gardening tips today. He is describing the reality of living in our sinful and sin-filled world. This is the reality his disciples are going to face as they go out and proclaim his word and sow the seed of his word. Furthermore, with this parable today, Jesus is not telling you to take a look at your heart and try to figure out how much is good soil or not, or to weed and unrock your heart as if you could. Nor is this for us to compare ourselves to others, how weedy and rocky they are compared to us. No, this parable is your reality. Jesus is describing your life. What happens to the word that is sown in your heart? For consider, perhaps this has happened to you. You stay up late one night, really late, and maybe for a good reason, because you are taking care of a sick child or a troubled friend. Or maybe you just had a lot on your mind. A project at work or school, a doctor appointment coming up, and your mind just kept racing and you couldn't get to sleep. Or maybe it was for a not so good reason. That happens too, right? And the next day is Sunday. So you get up and you go to church, but you just can't focus. You're not following, you're too tired. And what happens? The word that is read and preached and sung is snatched away. That ever happened to you? Or maybe this, you did something you knew was wrong. You didn't want to do it. You knew you shouldn't do it, but you did it anyway. The temptation was too great and you were too weak. It didn't even really seem that bad. Talking about that person behind their back, neglecting your responsibilities at home, looking at that stuff online. Maybe you even tried to justify it. Wondering and questioning, and did God really say? And the word of God planted in you got choked. How about one more? A friend of yours or maybe someone in your family gets sick or hurt really bad. They're suffering, hurting, dying, and so are you for them. Or your grandma gets Alzheimer's, can't remember you anymore. Or internet trolls or real life bullies are making your life as a Christian bitter. And the questions come. Why, God? Why her? Why me? Do you love me, God? Do you even care? And the word of God planted in you gets scorched by the heat of sadness and tragedy and death. If any of that has happened to you, and I'm pretty sure all of that has happened to all of you, then you've lived the parable of Jesus today. There are a lot of enemies of God's word all bearing down on you, attacking you. The devil and a sinful world from outside you, and your own hard-hearted, sinful nature from inside you. And you think about all that, all the attacks and assaults, the trials and troubles, the pounding and the persecution, and how it just seems that life keeps getting harder and harder and more complicated every day, and these things keep happening more and more in your life every day, and you realize it's a miracle the Word of God grows in us at all. Exactly. It's a miracle. It's not your doing. If it were, nothing would grow. But Jesus is working in you. And that's what Jesus wants you to know. What he is teaching us with this parable, that despite the best efforts of the devil, the world, and your own sinful nature to snatch and scorch and choke the Word of God, they're not going to win. Despite their best efforts, Jesus is going to produce a harvest in you. And make no mistake about it, it is all the work of Jesus. You can't unrock your heart, change the sinful nature you were born with. But Jesus can. Isn't he the one who can command stones to become bread in the wilderness? Isn't he the one who said that he can raise up children for Abraham from stones? Isn't he the one that brought water from a rock in the wilderness? And the one who could not be held in a tomb by a great rock? Yeah, that one can give you a heart of flesh and make your heart into good soil, which will produce a harvest for his word. And he not only can, he has. He did when you were baptized, when by water and the word he raised up a child of Abraham and made your heart a place where his word can grow and produce good fruit. Maybe even 100-fold. Although 30-fold is a lot, I think I'd settle for that. So they're not going to win. These enemies of God and his word aren't going to win because they've already been defeated by Jesus on the cross. He took the temptations of the devil and the world, the worst they could dish out, and he won. On the cross, the seed promised to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and David, the seed planted in the womb of Mary, on the cross, he was scorched and choked and attacked and dead. Really dead. Planted 6 feet under dead. Under a great rock. And then that seed grew. They could not keep him down or dead in the tomb. He rose and grew and is still growing. He won on the cross, and he is winning in you. And his harvest is more than we know, more than we can imagine, more than we can count, more than the sand on the seashore or the stars in the sky. The word of the Lord now planted in you. So yes, you're going to be attacked, and attacked hard, by the weeds of sin, the scorching heat of persecution, and the hatred of the devil. But the word of the Lord grows. And not a little, abundantly, lavishly, and directly in the face of all these enemies. Because Jesus doesn't just sow his word once. He continues sowing his seed in you. So, some more things for you to consider now. That the scriptures and the liturgy you hear every Sunday are not just words about Jesus. They are Jesus speaking to you. and sowing the seed of his word into your heart. And every time you hear the word or read the word or sing the word, he is sowing his seed in you, that you know all that he has done for you and promised you, and that seed grows. When you succumb to temptation, when you fail and fall, he throws the word of his seed into your ears and plants it into your hearts and says, I died for those sins. I forgive you all your sins. And that seed grows. When you have doubts and fears and troubles, he throws the seed of his word into your ears and plants it into your hearts and says, I baptized you, you are mine, and I'm not letting you go. And that seed grows. When you're faced with death, so fearsome and final, so filled with sorrow and dread, he throws the seed of his word into your ears and plants it into your hearts and says, been there, done that, came out alive. And so will you in me. And that seed grows. And when you are scorched and choked and weak, he throws the seed of his word into your ears and your mouths. His body and blood feeding, nourishing, and strengthening you. And that seed grows. For as Isaiah reminded us this morning, the word of God does not return empty. It accomplishes that for which he sends it, and it succeeds in that for which he sent it. And God's will is that his word grow in you. That even in the midst of the persistent attacks of the devil and the world and your own sinful nature, you be led by the Spirit of God, as St. Paul told the Romans. And so a harvest of good works and good fruit be produced in you. So what to do? What can you do if you cannot unrock your heart or weed your own heart and make it grow? Well, first of all, repent. That's always a good thing for a Christian to do. Repent of your part in all of this, your sinful nature and how you have rebelled against God and questioned him and his word. For you have. Me too. And then hear and receive the forgiveness you need. The forgiveness that can change a hard and rocky sinful nature into good soil. But then do this too. Drone swarm your heart. Drone swarm your heart with the word of God. One or two or three seeds, that's easy to snatch away. But 100, 1,000, or more? Moses told the people of old to do this when they were getting ready to enter into the promised land. He told them, make sure you have God's word everywhere. He said, put it on your clothing. Put it on the walls and doors of your houses. Put it on your hands. Hang it between your eyes. Have it when you wake up in the morning and when you go to bed at night. The point being, not to actually physically do all those things, but to have the word always around you and always being sown into you. So that though some be scorched and some be choked and some be snatched, some also grow and produce a harvest in you. That you always have hope, not in yourself, but in the words and promises of God. For his word never fails, not even when it is crucified. So Jesus sends his disciples out into such a world. This is what they're going to see. This is what they're going to experience. In those they preach to and in themselves. Scorching, choking, snatching, and harvest. All of the above. And you too. This is your life. Because Christ is your life. If they attacked him, they're going to attack you too. But if he won, you win too. So he is your hope. He is your victory. That no matter what is going on in your life, look to him, listen to him, follow him. Because he is growing in you. His seed is growing in you. His word is growing in you and producing a harvest. Count on him. He won't let you down. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.